Welcome to the Vineyard Church Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information on this podcast or other resources, go to vineyardlive.us. To learn more about us, go to thevineyardchurch.us.
I haven't always made the best choices in life. But Jesus restored my relationships. I'm rooted in His love.
If you don't know, we're in a series entitled Rooted: Deep Relationships in a Shallow World. You see, we want to be rooted in Him. We don't just want to know Him. We want to be rooted and firmly established in Him. Last week, Di, she brought the message, didn't she? She did her thing. If you were here, yeah, give it up. Mama Di killed it. I loved it. She was talking about being rooted in Jesus' death and what that looks like. Being rooted in Jesus' life and what that looks like. Because those two are different. And if you don't understand, it went over your head, you forgot about it, or you just didn't catch it, check it out. Check the message out. You will be blessed. But I want to talk about being rooted in Jesus' life and death is not only a great thing, because if you're rooted in death and life, you will bear amazing results. However, there's nurturing that needs to happen. There's nurturing that need to happen in order for us to be rooted, or else there's weeds that can contaminate. And these weeds that start to grow, can fester, can contaminate, can rob us of our fruitfulness of a Christian life, y'all. It can rob us of our joy, rob us of our peace, and all that. And this week, we're going to talk about the first of many weeds. And this week, we're going to talk about the weed of competition. The weed of competition. And I'm already hearing the Cards and Cubs fan talking about competition. What you talking about, competition, Clay? Competition is a sin? Is a bad thing? I remember when I got this shirt. I wore this Cubs shirt one day right here. And I was rocking this. And I'm like, got the Cubs shirt. And I got the boos and the jeers and I got the snarls and I got the scoffs from the Cards fans. You know what I mean? Like, yo, Clay, what are you wearing a Cubs shirt for? And I'm like, whoa, easy. You know what I mean? Easy. Then this Cards fan grew some gumption and sent me some hate mail talking about, take that Cubs shirt off, right? And so one day I'm coaching baseball with my son and we went to Dick's. And he was like, hey, Dad, why don't you get the Cards hat? Because, you know, Grandma and Grandpa are Cards fans. I'm like, you know what? Sure, let's go. Why not? So I rocked the Cards hat. You know what I'm saying? So I got me a Cards hat, you know? And, I put this on. I'm wearing it around. And Cubs fans started to snarl at me. Cubs fans started hating. And I'm like, whoa. So just for the record, I might just mess y'all all up and wear a Cubs shirt and a Cards hat and preach a message, all right? Just to mess y'all up, all right? Nah, I'm playing around. But y'all Cards fans and Cubs fans all need to repent for the spirit of competitiveness, okay? Y'all need to repent. I'm just playing. I'm from North Carolina, you know what I mean? Rivalries in college basketball run thick, okay? I get the rivalry. I'm not talking about sports competitions at all. I'm talking about the weed of competition and how that can ruin relationships. How that can ruin relationships. This is the weed I want to expose today, is the kind that will rob us from seeing others as God sees them. You see, when competition, guys, becomes more about me and less about God and less about being rooted in Jesus' life and Jesus' death, then you might just have a weed problem. And I ain't talking about cannabis either. I'm saying, and if you had that problem, you come up and get prayer today. We'll pray for you. We'll release you from that thing, for real. I'm being serious, okay? But you might just have a weed of competition problem when it's more about you and less about what God is doing in and around you. So this weed problem can, you know, kill, steal, and ruin relationships among the body of Christ. So I want to talk about it. Let's talk about it today as we expose the weed of competition, shall we? Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing, how you're going to have your way today. I say, Father, come. Open us up, Lord, and teach us the truths you want us to get today in every way. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to go to John 21:20 in a minute. But before I go there, I just want to go ahead and just say that this is my verse. This is my life verse. I actually own the rights to this verse. I'm going to let you guys borrow it today. But you got to give it back, all right? Got to give it back because this is my life verse. When John wrote this verse, he was thinking about Clay Harrington, okay? He had that in mind. I love this verse. So as long as we're clear with that, okay? I'm going to go to John 21:20. And in this particular passage, we see Peter and Jesus. Jesus and Peter having a great conversation on the beach of Galilee. And it's crazy how they were having this conversation because Peter, he was feeling a certain way before he saw Jesus. Because before Jesus went to the cross, the last time he saw Jesus, he denied him 3 times. So here he is in the flesh. And so it's a little awkward. So, you know, Jesus makes a breakfast for him. They're rapping, they're talking. And then after the talk, you know, Jesus is like, hey, Peter, do you love me? And Peter's like, yes, Jesus, I do. I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Jesus, I do. Well, feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me? Jesus, you're starting to creep me out right now. Yes, you know I do. You know I love you. Well, feed my sheep. What's he doing? Peter denied Jesus 3 times, but I believe that Jesus is restoring Peter 3 times. But not only that, I believe that Jesus is preparing Peter for something. That, hey, Peter, the call that I have for you specifically, you must be rooted in my love. Because what's about to happen is going to shake you up. And then he starts to talk to Peter about something else. He goes in and moves into something crazy. Hey, Peter, I'm going to tell you basically how you're going to die. You're going to be martyred, okay? And I'm like, wow, that's crazy. He took a left turn on that one. I mean, I want to know a lot of things about my destiny and my life in Christ, but how I'm going to die probably doesn't make the top of the list. You know, I just don't want to know that right now, God, okay? So, but he tells Peter this, and Peter is like, okay, fascinating. Then he sees John come in the room. John, the one who's the youngest of all the disciples, John, the John that's so close to Jesus that he can rest on Jesus' chest during a meal, that John. The John, the one of the three inner circle disciple members, John, he comes in and Peter sees him from the corner of his eye and he gets distracted. And so at a distance, he sees John, and he's prompted to ask a question. And we see this in John 21:21. It says this, Peter asks Jesus, what about him, Lord? I can live here sometime. Man, I would be prompted to ask this question, at least be asking this in my heart. What about him, Lord? Here you have Jesus commissioning Peter with a special commission. Here you have Jesus commissioning Peter, telling him everything he's going to do. And then he sees John and is distracted. What about him, Lord? Will he remain alive? Is he going to be martyred too? What's his life going to be like? What's his ministry going to be like? What's his call going to be like? You know, will his preaching be more dynamic than my preaching? Will his ministry have more followers than my ministry? What about him, Lord? Guys, I can live at this place as well, too. I can be here at this what about him mentality. In an age of social media where the information is so readily available, I can scroll and say, wow, what about that ministry right there? Or wow, what about that call right there? Am I not privileged enough? Am I not enough? Am I not going to do those things, Lord? What about them? Or what about that house? What about that car? Am I not going to be wealthy enough, have the stature enough to own something like that, Lord? I remember My neighbors bought a late model Bourbon, a Suburban. I mean, this thing was boss. Oh, my goodness. This is jet black Suburban, had all the bells and whistles. And I'm like, dang, man, what is going on? I mean, the inside was nice. It was spacious. Got the sunroof, leather seats. It had everything, right? And then all of a sudden, my Kia Sedona looking straight jankety. My Kia Sedona, I'm looking around like, man, it's all raggedy in here, man. Man, baby girl, we need to get an upgrade, you know? That's what the spirit in the weed of competition will do. It will have us comparing first and then compete. Some friends of mine just closed on a 6-bedroom house and had the nerve to post it on Facebook. Now I'm looking at this thing like, look at this thing, spacious dining room, man, spacious living room. My goodness. Then they got the nerve to flex on them with the in-ground pool. What they doing? And then I look around my house and I'm like, man, we out here in a shack. We got my house looking straight raggedy, man. Like, we need to upgrade. We need to move. See, that's what the weed of competition will do. It will get us to compare. And out of that comparing, there's only two outcomes, guys. Two prideful outcomes. You will either feel inferior or superior. Woo! You will either feel inferior or superior. It's both pride. It's both pride. And then out of that place, you start to compete. So if you're inferior, you're trying to compete for the top. If you're superior, you're trying to compete to stay at the top. Come on, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. But Jesus, he role models so well, so many great things about how to circumvent the weed of competition or how to root that bad boy up. But this what about them mentality plagues us, and it plagues the church. And if you don't think it plagues you, think again. Think again. Everybody is dealing with this in some way, shape, form. And if you don't think it's you, then you probably are already definitely suffering from the weed of competition. Because if the weed of competition has blinded us. But guys, once the weed of competition is fully grown, it will have us relating to each other on a shallow level. Because it becomes more about us and less about what God is doing in other people's lives. Jesus and John the Baptist shows us so many examples of this deep relationship. About this deep relationship and how it's not only possible, but natural when the weed of competition isn't involved, okay? So you got Jesus the Christ stepping fresh and clean on the scene like, blah, how you like me now? I'm the God man out here, okay? Suckers, you know? So he's talking to the demons, of course, suckers, you know? But boom, fresh and clean. You know what I mean? I'm the God man. I'm stepping on the scene. And then God tells Jesus, hey, you've got to do one thing before you start your earthly ministry. You have to get baptized by your cousin. And I'm like, all right, cool. So Matthew 3 so shows us some fascinating things. Check it out. It says this. Then Jesus went from Galilee to Jordan River to be baptized by John. Bloomington, Sullivan, are you with me? Check it out. It says this. Then Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I am the one who needs to be baptized by you, cuz. He said, I'm adding that, all right? You know what I mean? I'm a straight up come up with a new translation of the Bible called Street Hymns, okay? Who wants to finance that? Who wants to finance that with me, okay? All right, that's how it's going to be, okay? That's how it's going to be. All right, I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, cuz, he said. So why are you coming at me? Pause. I want to say something real quick. John the Baptist was a big deal. He was a pretty big, his ministry was large and in charge. He had the fastest growing church, if you want to call it that, in the area. Everybody named Mama wanted to come to John the Baptist to hear him preach and to be baptized by him. He was baptizing people by the hundreds daily. I mean, dude was a beast, okay? And here he is saying, hey, wait a minute. No, in front of everyone, in front of all his followers. No, I can't baptize you. You need to baptize me. I know who you are. You're more than just my cousin. You are the Lamb of God, the one who's going to take away the sins of the world. I can't even untie your shoes. You are that boss man, okay? No, I can't do it. But, church, let me just tell you something real quick. Baptisms were a big deal. When you baptized people, you basically were saying that you had some type of spiritual authority over them, okay? That's why John was so adamant. No, I can't baptize you, Jesus. You're Jesus. You're the Son of God. You want me to baptize? No, I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. This is big. But Jesus says, check it out in verse 15. But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agrees to baptize him. This is big, guys. Guys, this is huge. You know, Jesus could have said, you know what, John, you're right. I'm going to go ahead and pull my divinity card on this one and just baptize myself, okay? Are you good? Okay, listen, everybody stand clear, okay? Because when I get up from up the water, a dove is going to come on your boy, okay? Listen, just stand clear, everybody. You ready? Here we go. You know, he could have been about that life, though, but he wasn't. He wasn't about that life. He was saying this. He said, hey, we must carry out all that God requires. Why didn't he just baptize himself? Because he was firmly rooted and established in the love of the Father, where one, he was secure in his identity, and two, he knew his destiny. He was secure in his identity, and he knew his destiny. He didn't have to compete with everyone else. He was good. He knew who he was. We must carry out all that God requires. God, John, listen, this must happen this way. Because Papa God requires it to be this way. And if we can't do it, then I can't fully step into my destiny. I believe that we need to hear this today. Because I believe that this may be what's holding some of us down in our jobs. Holding us down in our profession. Holding us down because we don't really want to submit to somebody who may be younger or maybe less experienced. We'd rather compete with them rather than see how God sees them. It got real quiet in here. Y'all okay? Y'all okay? Okay. That's why we see in Philippians 2. I'm going to go to Philippians 2 real quick. 8-9. It says this. When he, Jesus, appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Because he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross, obeying to the letter of the law. Listen, everything he did was in obedience. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor. You know what? See, my arm is straight up over my head. I couldn't do that before, but you know what? I got two words for you. CrossFit, okay? Your boy Cam got me on that CrossFit, stretching me out, bro, stretching me out. Okay, here we go. Okay, So elevated him to highest honor and gave him the name above all other names. Because he humbled himself, guys, in obedience to God. Because he was rooted in the Father's love. He knew who he was. He can carry out all that God told him to carry out. Guys, Jesus wasn't just a model for us. He was a model as us. He is making it possible for us to know what we can even still do today. And it gets better. We have more examples of how these cousins model deep relationships in a shallow world. John 3, 25-29, it says this. I love this. A debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man that you met on the other side of the Jordan River, yeah, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people. And everybody's going to him instead of coming to us. Boom. This situation is prime for what about them mentality. To creep in. This situation, there's so much opportunity for John to have a what about them mentality creep in, where the weed of competition comes and robs him of his joy, robs him of his peace, and robs him of relationship, guys. You know, he could have said, wow, my people are kind of, you know, losing faith in me right now. I might be losing followers. I was kind of the big deal before my cousin Jesus showed up, and now he's hightailing it up here, trying to steal my thunder. The thunder, lightning and the thunder was a young gun with, okay, we stop. But you know, he's stealing my thunder. What is going on? Now it's time to compete. Now it's time to, you know, go toe-to-toe with him now. Now, the weed of competition didn't even have a chance to take root. Didn't even have a chance to take root because of John's response. Check out John's response. This is textbook. I love it. It says this in verse 27. John replied, "No one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. Therefore," this is good, "therefore I am filled with joy at his success." This is good, guys. This is really good. These responses are textbook because he fundamentally knew that God was the one who gave Jesus the favor, that God was the one who gave Jesus the anointing, that God was the one who gave Jesus the off-the-hook ministry. And if he had beef with Jesus, then he most likely had beef with God. If he couldn't celebrate Jesus, then he's not celebrating God. And this is so good for us and so timely for us today, guys. If we can't celebrate the people that's around us, call out the gold in them, appreciate them for who they are, then you know what? You probably have a beef with God that you need to talk to him about. You probably have motives exposed that need to be dealt with. If we cannot genuinely celebrate each other, it's probably because there's a root of a weed of competition that's rising up to rob you of all your fruitfulness in Christ, guys. Real talk, I'm not trying to be mean, I'm only being real. There's a weed of competition that wants to come up and suck the fruitfulness out of the church, guys. But John's two trademark responses are so good on what to do when the weed of competition even begins to take root, even begins to rear its ugly head. You know? This could be the reason why you don't get the promotion that you so desire, because we can't celebrate our boss. Because we can't honor our boss. Hey, honor our mother and father, and then you'll have a long life. Maybe honor your boss, and you'll have a long, healthy career. I don't know. Maybe it's what's been stopping you from growing in ministry spiritually. Because we can't honor those around us. Ask yourself that question. How am I honoring? How am I celebrating? And if I can't celebrate those around me genuinely, then what's the issue? What's the issue? Probably because we're getting played by the weed of competition. In 2015, the Golden State Warriors won an NBA championship, besting the Cavs in 4-2 in a 7-game series. Why am I going to 2015? Because they just won last year. Well, I'm going to 2015 because there's a fascinating story in that, the story of Andre Iguodala. Andre Iguodala was a starter for the league for 10 years. He actually is from Springfield. Actually, Jay, you played him, right? You played with him one day, right? Yeah, Jay played him, and he's from Springfield. He's from this state. But he was a starter for 10 years. And he was, you know, he was beast in the game. Then he came to the Golden State, and Coach Steve Kerr asked him, "Hey, I need you to come off the bench." Wow, what? I'm a starter. Let me explain to you what starters are. Starters are basically the five people on the basketball team that have the best, that are in the game. They start the game, hence the name starters. They start the game because they're the best on the team. Then you have the role players, back up one. You have the role players where there's a 6th, 7th, 8th man, okay? And 6th, 7th, 8th, maybe 9th and 10th, sit on the bench. They sit on the bench to start the game, but they get in some, but not as much as the starters. The starters have the best chance of winning the game, but they complement. They sub to make sure they can give the starters a breather. Then you have just the straight-up bench warmers. They just ride in the pine. They just ride in the oak, okay? I mean, these guys, they have no chance of getting the game, but they got to be the biggest rah-rah supporters, okay? They're sitting oak, okay? So anyway, Andre Iguodala, 10-year starter. He comes to Golden State, asked to come off the bench as a sixth man. Big deal. To say he was mad was an understatement. Did he get traded? No. Did he sign up for free agency? No, meaning that he could have got traded. He could have left to go play on a team that he could have started, no problem. No, but he decided to stay. Why? Because he wanted to embrace the role that was given to him, the assignment that was given to him, and he wanted to be the best sixth man that he can possibly be. Well, fast forward, what happened? They played the Cavaliers, and as they played the Cavs, they won. And in this whole period of time, Andre Iguodala is coming off to replace these starters. He could have been really frustrated. He could have been comparing himself to Klay Thompson, who's a beast, to Steph Curry, who's a beast. He could have been comparing himself and got depressed and just left the team or not maybe have produced as well, okay? But instead, he decided to take a back seat and to be the best he can be. And by the time they played the Cavaliers, when he got in the game, he made it his point to make sure that he guarded LeBron James, arguably the best player in the league, to play the game. And he guarded him and shut him down. When I say shut him down, he didn't shut him down to where he's not scoring any points. But basically guarded him to where it was a minimum production from LeBron. He, Andre Iguodala, was the X factor and the reason why Golden State won that championship that year. And the MVP went to not LeBron, not Klay Thompson, not Steph Curry or anybody else, but it went to Andre Iguodala that year because his selfless determination to not only help his team win, but to steward as the best sixth man on that team. But check it out, guys. We have good news. We have even better news than that. I believe that that's how God is calling us to live. To stop making it about ourselves and to make it more about our team. And to make it about our team that's really moving into something bigger than ourselves. To stop making it about, oh, who's going to get the props? Who's going to get this? No, let's just steward well what we have that God has given us to steward so our team can move in for greater gains, guys. You know, I feel that if we're rooted in Jesus' death and life, then we already have the ring because we're on the same team. And if we're on the same team with the ring, then all we have to do is to continue to steward well what God has given us to steward. If the body forms like Voltron and Jesus is the head, what does it look like me trying to compete for the top spot when Jesus already proved that he's the top spot? What's it look like for me trying to be the best preacher when Jesus already proved that he's the best preacher? He already proved that he's the best evangelist. He already proved that he's the best apostle, prophet, teacher. All I have to do now is to do the best I can with what God has given me. And I don't have to compete with anybody else. I can celebrate everyone else as I continue to walk into my destiny. I can keep walking into my destiny. And that's what I love that Andre Iguodala did. He embodied that selfless determination that he didn't have to compete with everyone else. He could just continue to keep stepping into his destiny as a sixth man and do the best he can. You know, I'm on a preaching team. I got a lot of different voices. We have a lot of different voices in this house. I can be preoccupied and busy trying to compare myself to other voices, trying to compare myself to this, that, and the third. No. I can celebrate them and walk into the destiny that God has for me. I can walk into that destiny that God has for me. And when I do that, I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm becoming more and more like Christ because I'm pressing in to who it is he made me to be. He didn't make me to be anybody else. He made me to be me. He didn't make you to be anybody else. Stop trying to copycat and be like everyone else. Be you. Stop trying to copycat. I see people on YouTube, scrolling to YouTube, I'm like, oh, snap, I want to be just like him when I grow up. No, be just like you when you grow up because the world needs you. The world needs you. The world needs you to be the best you can be. Not anybody else. not anybody else. That's so good. So the body is coming together. The root and roots out the weed of competition. And when we understand the truth that we can root out the weed of competition, we can live out of a place of confidence. We can genuinely celebrate others. But how does this play out, Clay? How does this, you know, play out spiritually on an everyday today? Well, this brings me back to the discussion that Jesus and Peter are having on the beach of Galilee. And check it out. So Peter just got done asking, hey, Jesus, what about him, Lord? What about John? What about his life, Lord? And I love Jesus' response. Jesus replied in verse 22, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. I hear so much in this. I hear so much in this. Look, guys, Clay, if I wanted that ministry to go and blow up, if I wanted that calling to do what it's doing, what is that to you? Stop being distracted with other people's call. Because when you're distracted, you start to compare. And when you start to compare, you start to compete. And when you start to compete, you don't recognize what I'm doing in other people's lives. This is what I'm hearing in this passage, guys. You know, what is that to you? Who cares if I gave him X, Y, and Z? You follow me. You follow me. What's he saying to you? Fill in the blank. What's it matter if I did blank with this person? You follow me. Because when you follow me and you realize what I have for you and what we can do together, it's on. It's on. There's a picture that's hanging up in my prayer room that reminds me of this truth all the time. It's a picture of Jesus walking on water. But what I love about this picture is the perspective of this picture. The perspective is that he's walking and we're following. We're following him. And I feel like every time I see that picture, every time I see that Jesus is walking on water, it's like an invite, like Clay. You know, you can be distracted. You can just like allow the weed of competition to eat your lunch, Clay. You can compare all you want all day. What is that gonna do for you? Or you can follow me. You can follow me. Hey, come follow me and let's walk on water together. Hey, let's follow me and let's chase lions together. Hey, come follow me and let's slay giants together. Hey, follow me. Hey, follow me. Let's go. I have something for you specifically, Clay. Because when you're this and that and this and that and what about them and what about that and what about that, then what are you doing? You're really not doing anything for the kingdom of God. And you're definitely not celebrating other people. You're ruining relationships. You follow me, I'll teach you how to step into your destiny and appreciate other people in the process. So that's my action step today. My action step today is this. Find that one person or those few people that you feel in competition with. That you have you compete with. And it can be, how do I know who I'm in competition with, Clay? Well, it's those people that when they have success, when things happen good in their life, you kind of get like bothered by that. You kind of get jealous by that, envious about that. Those are the people. Pray about those people. Bless those people. Ask God, how can you encourage those people? How can you bless those people? That will root and snuff out the weed of competition right there. And if you still have problems with doing that, then read John 21, 20 and 21. I know I said it was mine, but freely I receive, freely I give, okay? I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it all to you. Use that. Use that as power to help you not only follow God, but to see people as God sees them. Let's pray. God, you're amazing. Everything about you is amazing, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that there's a Holy Spirit confidence that rises up in every man, woman, and child in such a way they realize, Lord God, that what you are calling them to is the most amazing, appealing destiny for them, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the weed of competition is not only exposed for what it is, but rooted out with your word, with your truth, with Holy Spirit intervention, so that we can press in to deep relationships in a shallow world. And the church said, amen.
Thanks for listening to the message today. To experience more powerful messages, go to vineyardlive.us or join our Vineyard Live Plus community to view conferences, trainings, and special teachings.